all across Wisconsin from Civic Media. This is Up North News Radio. Real information, good conversation, unabashedly Wisconsin. Here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. Welcome to the State of Wisconsin Sense for this Monday, November 28th. Another beautiful day on Lake Wasota, soon to be a very snowy period on Lake Wasota, given what the forecast calls for tomorrow. So a little quiet today, a bit of snow coming through tomorrow. Winter driving is going to be more of a character builder the further north and west you go. So please make sure that you've got your snow brush in the car, scraper, maybe the jumper cables, whatever else you might need. If you're not into the habit of having your hat and gloves with you all the time, make sure those are in the car too. And of course, we'll have weather updates throughout each of the 2 hours that we're together here on this Monday morning. Coming up this morning, some advice for the former guy. Don't dine with Nazis. I would think that's, you know, pretty clear advice, but not necessarily. We will be joined by Kristen Lyerly at 6:30. We will be joined by Chad Holmes at 7:50. A little early for him. His show normally begins at 8 o'clock, but we asked him to come in for the last few minutes of today's show. He had a very interesting take on Jim Leonard and why he did not get the head coaching job for the Wisconsin Badgers football team. And so we'll talk about that. And of course, the Packer game. We will ask ourselves, have we reached the end of the Aaron Rodgers era? Is the Jordan Love era officially underway as of late in last night's game when a very banged up Rodgers came out? I have been joking repeatedly that, you know, what Rodgers is going to do someday is he's going to pull a Rodney Dangerfield, you know, from Caddyshack, where he's going to go, oh, my arm, it's broken. I can't go on anymore. And well, it turns out he's doing that. It's like, oh, my thumb, it's broken. It turns out it's a fracture. And now I've got an oblique strain. And did I mention that I'm just old and tired? Well, he won't say those parts, of course, but you know, this might be a passing of the torch, if you will, maybe not fully, but given that the Packers are now completely out of the playoff hunt, which frees up your January weekends, by the way. Maybe we will see not just more Jordan Love next week for a banged up Rodgers, but conceivably through the year. It's not, from what I read, it's not like Rodgers has an ironclad no trade clause. He could agree to something. So maybe there's a team that would like to take him on where he would feel better appreciated than he does here. I don't know. We'll talk more about that later on in the morning. To reach us here, radio at upnorthnewswi.com, because that's our web address. upnorthnewswi.com is where you will find the product of our news team over here at Up North News, a separate entity from Civic Media, but we are thrilled to be their radio partners and to have them let us use 2 hours of their real estate every weekday morning. We do so through a phone number as well, 715-388-7155. Calling that number gets you Aaron Zomers, who's in the producer chair this morning. Aaron, good morning to you.
Good morning. And before you ask, this time my answer will be different. I did watch the Packer game this weekend, for better or for worse.
Right. Good on you. Like, all you didn't stick through all of it.
Well, I did, but that's only because we were watching both the Packer game and the Bucks game at the same time. We had the Packer game on the TV and the Bucks game on a laptop sitting in front of the TV. So yeah, it made it easier to watch when I could just watch something else.
It was a dual screen kind of sports night, and we'll get into all the sports in the next segment. We're just going to set the next segment aside to catch up on all of that. How was your Thanksgiving?
It was great. Just getting to spend some time with my family and see my niece, my 4-year-old niece, Gracie, who I've talked about before. She gave me a painting of a tree that she made. It was very sweet. Aww. How was yours?
That's great. Great. Anytime I can get both daughters and all 4 grandkids under one roof, it's great. It wasn't our roof this time. It was out in Manitowoc County, where my wife's family is from and where they hosted Thanksgiving. But to get the one daughter in from Idaho with her 2 boys and the other from Kalamazoo, Michigan, and her little boy and little girl, it's just great. And it really is now. We're at this time where it's less about getting the kids together now that they're adult kids And now it's about getting the cousins together, because all four of the grandkids, well, three of them, one's, you know, 9 months old, but, you know, they're all aware of each other. And the 8 year or the 3 year old from the younger daughter, the 3 year old thinks that the 8 year old from the older daughter, who is the younger brother on that set, just thinks he's the big kid. So the little brother from Idaho is now the big kid in the eyes of the little one from Kalamazoo. And meanwhile, you know, the 3 year old, he looks big to his new little sister, who just squeals and laughs anytime that he's around. And so it's fun to get the kids and to watch them, you know, start to grow and get to know each other when we're able to get them together. It was a great Thanksgiving with family. In both cases, also visited, you know, my side of the family. We met out in the Twin Cities, took a couple of the grandkids around Mall of America, which the amusement park inside was once called Camp Snoopy. Now it's something else, Nickelodeon Universe or whatever. When it first opened, we actually lived near Mall of America, and so we'd bring our two little girls there all the time. And what a trip it is now to, you know, be the ones, the grandparents, who just sit on the park bench and watch our daughters put their kids on the rides. It's a hoot. We loved it. It was a great trip. And we'll talk more about the weekend throughout the course of the morning here, including our movie review. We watched the new Apple TV movie Spirited with Ryan Reynolds and Will Ferrell. And we'll talk about that at some point as well. And we will mark a big milestone for Motown Records throughout the morning too. All that and more on a Monday. This is Up North News Radio. Throughout the morning, we'll be playing, for the most part, tunes from Motown because of a birthday. I don't want to give away the whole segment that we normally do at 6:50, but you won't get the reference if we don't tell you now that Berry Gordy Jr. turns 93 years old today. He and Smokey Robinson and a few others started Motown Records back in the day, and so we're looking forward to playing some of, to say the classics would be putting it very mildly, shall we say. And it'll make us feel better, because it was not a stellar weekend, at least for some of the big football teams that we like to watch. The Packers lost to the Eagles 40-33, and honestly, it wasn't that close. I know for a time later in the game, it felt like we pulled within a touchdown, but, you know, did we really? I mean, the scoreboard says so, but it sure didn't feel that way, Aaron.
The scoreboard says so, but the looks in our team's eyes did not.
Yeah, it was brutal. It really was, watching Jalen, watching the Packer defense allow Philly quarterback Jalen Hurts to run and run and run and run. Hurts ran. This is the quarterback. He ran for 157 yards. And he threw for 153 yards. And in both cases, he'd been to 125 yards rushing and 125 yards passing by halftime. That had never, ever been done by a quarterback in the entire history of the National Football League. At this point, he's pretty much, I don't want to say a lock, but here's a guy that could be taking the MVP torch away from the man he defeated, Aaron Rodgers. And it wasn't even just him. It was Miles Sanders, who ran for another 143 yards. And it's not that, you know, we didn't have some bright spots. We did have a great 52-yard kickoff return by Nixon, but only because he'd muffed a kickoff return, you know, earlier in the game. Rodgers had a couple of interceptions. I mean, one of them was a crazy pinball one off of somebody's helmet. The defense was able to stop Philadelphia a couple of times on third and inches and fourth and inches. So there were some bright spots, but by and large, when you saw Aaron Rodgers jogging to the locker room, you know, in the fourth quarter, And then when you saw, Jordan Love throw that 63-yard touchdown bomb to Christian Watson, you thought, okay, maybe we're looking into the future now after all. And, you know, it's certainly, again, feels that way when you consider that this is a team that is now, 4-8 and, you know, completely out of the hunt here and can now spend some time thinking about what's next. You know, what's next once Rodgers and his oblique or his ribs are healed up and his thumb is healed up? Is he going to be able to come back from that? You know, this has been the year where both he and Tom Brady have had flashes of what made them great. But in too many instances, you look at both of them and think, well, is this it? I don't know. We'll find out. The Packers next Sunday are at Chicago to play the Bears. The Badger football team, meanwhile, Aaron, any chance you watched the Badger football game?
No, I didn't watch that one. I was still in Manitowoc at that point. Didn't really watch any sports there.
I missed most of the game. I caught a little bit of it on the radio on the drive home, and then I caught the very last part of the fourth quarter on TV at home, where the Badgers allowed the Gophers to score the go-ahead touchdown, but still had enough time to make their own drive. And got it to, what was it, first and goal on the 5. And next thing you know, they're on the 30 because there had been penalty after penalty after penalty for false start because, you know, Graham Mertz, the Badger quarterback, went out with an injury. And the fill-in quarterback and the offense were just not in sync and went backwards for the entire drive. And then the game was over. And that's how it ended. The Badgers going backwards, you know, a team that saw the firing of Coach Paul Christ earlier in the season. Jim Leonard had taken over for a time. There was a lot of speculation that Leonard would be named the coach full time, and that was not the case. Instead, Cincinnati's Luke Fickell was announced Sunday as the new head of the football program. He led the Cincinnati Bearcats over the past several years to a 57-18 record and earned a college football playoff berth last year. So Aaron, you and I both watched, you know, Jim Leonard. We heard about, you know, this Wisconsin guy coming in. And I think a lot of people kind of assumed that it was his job to lose. I don't know if I wouldn't say he lost the job yesterday, but It sure hasn't been a pretty season for the Badgers either, though they are going to a bowl game.
Yeah, it definitely doesn't look pretty. Although I know you mentioned the Badgers playing the Gophers. I do have to say, I can never think about the Gophers without seeing Dr. Lyerly in the mascot suit now.
Well, you know, we're going to ask her about that because she was at the game. So she'll definitely have some comments as a Wisconsin girl through and through. But who went to the University of Minnesota, much like my younger daughter did the same. So, you know, you go to college where you go to college. And frankly, my daughter, you know, picks on me like, what, you know, why would you root for the Badgers over the Gophers when your daughter went to Minnesota and I didn't go to Madison? I went to UW-Eau Claire. But, you know, as we all know, throughout the state, you have that kind of affiliation with Bucky. And unless you went to, say, Marquette, you know, to one of the other really big schools, you know, Green Bay or something like that. So you follow the Badgers and you certainly want to see when there's this long rivalry. It is the longest rivalry in college football, the longest running, and they play for that trophy, you know, the Paul Bunyan axe, and it, you know, emotions get caught up in that kind of a game. And you could see the joy that the Gophers felt in being able to keep that axe for a second straight year. Let's see if we can find some bright spot in sports. Well, of course, we got the Milwaukee Bucks here. Let's see. Grayson Allen went 7-for-7 from three-point land in the game's first 17 minutes. The Bucks never trailed Sunday in beating the Dallas Mavericks 124-115. Giannis led all scorers with 30 points. And let's see, the Bucks shot 56% from overall, 17 of 37 from three-point land, matching a season high. So that all worked out fine for them. Let me see who's up next for the Bucks. They are at New York on Wednesday. The Bucks beat the Knicks at home back on October 28th. So 124-115 for the Bucks over the Mavericks. And then there's the Badger volleyball team. They won a share of the, or they won the Big Ten title for, what is it, the fourth year in a row now. And so they are heading to the NCAA tournament for women's volleyball. And so we'll chat about them throughout the course of the week, getting set for their first round game, which I think their first round match is Friday. But again, I'll have to pull that up to finalize that. And, you know, again, really, you got to hand it to them. You know, the defending national champs, they've just looked so good, and they've been on such a winning streak, you know, to close out the season. And then you have the World Cup, where, you know, the U.S. is in a position of win or go home. It has been interesting, to say the least, to listen to the debate between folks who follow soccer closely and those who do not. And the ones who follow soccer closely have been tutting those who do not, who've looked at the U.S. in two ties, I believe 1-1 and 0-0. Fascinating games. That might be sarcasm. Meanwhile, the soccer fans are like, you don't understand how beautiful these plays are. It's like, I see that, you know, everybody loves a good pitcher's duel, but, you know, and I've appreciated some 1-0 games, but I've never had to leave a baseball game with it 1-1, you know, or 0-0. That, you know, there's more of an attempt to, what's the word I'm looking for, score, you know, to put the ball in. And now the U.S. has to do that against Iran, or they don't advance to the knockout stage, the group of 16. The group play is wrapping up this first part of the week. And with Iran, that includes a little bit of, you know, political connotations behind the event. I don't want to impose too much on it because, frankly, I don't think the athletes think about it nearly as much as the talking heads do. But with all the protests in Iran, with the Iranian players, you know, not singing the words to their national anthem, essentially in protest of the government crackdown of the protesters, with the U.S., you know, not always having, shall we say, the best political relationship with Iran, there's a lot that people want to put on the game. Again, the athletes, they don't care. They know the stakes of the game simply for the, you know, the sake of the game. And in this case, it's, do you want to move on to the knockout stage or not? Because I believe only two teams have been knocked out. Qatar, the host country, was knocked out right away. And now Canada is out. And I believe, you know, if the U.S. Loses or ties tomorrow, they would be out of it as well. You had, let's see, Belgium was stunned by Morocco, and after that, riots broke out in Brussels, Belgium. After that loss, I don't get that, but I don't get sports rioting, you know, in general. It is, what's the word I'm looking for? Yeah, a game. It's a game. But it is... it is something that we will, you know, follow tomorrow to, simply to see if the U.S. can advance in a tournament where it's never been known for going terribly far. This could be a difference maker, but then again, tomorrow they could be packing their bags and beginning their offseason a little bit early, shall we say. Hey, a reminder, you can follow us all day long on social media. Up North News WI is what you want to search for. Don't forget the WI. And you can also follow me personally on a Facebook page. It's called Pat Kreitlow Up North. And then just plain old Pat Kreitlow on Twitter. So it'd be nice to have you following along there as far as what I'm following and what our team is following for news stories throughout. So, Aaron, I mentioned that over the weekend, we'd been seeing the commercials nonstop for the Ryan Reynolds, Will Ferrell movie, Spirited, and we finally got to watch that over the weekend with kids and grandkids. It's a fine movie. I don't know that I'm going to say it's an instant classic or anything, but I know our daughter was not happy about it because they don't tell you until you're into it that it's a musical. So you're expecting something like Elf, but it's just straight up music, you know, for a big chunk of it. If you're good with that, then that's fine. But if you weren't expecting it, like some people weren't, not a pleasant surprise. So I thought I'd spoil the surprise and let y'all know this is what you're in for.
That is probably good to know. Yeah,
it is. And good acting, you know, and some good funny moments. But just be aware of that before you bring that up, what kind it is. All right. Looks like we're going to get Dr. Lyerly up and going for us coming up next. This is Up North News Radio.
Follow Up North News online anytime. Search Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter for Up North News WI and our homepage, upnorthnewswi.com.
So we're going to be doing a lot of Motown today because it's Berry Gordy Jr.'s 93rd birthday. And, you know, if you're going to take two, you may as well make Kristen Lyerly your second to join us for this half hour. Hello, how are you?
It takes two, baby. You hey, got it, baby. It's so good to be
here. Not bad with a little scratchy throat there, probably from spending all that time in the stands at the Badgers-Gophers game over the weekend.
That and, of course, late last night with the Packers because there was so much to cheer about.
Well, there were moments at least. So, you know, there were a couple of fine moments, but, you know, they were only moments. And you know, like we've said before, I guess that's what it was like to be a Packers fan in the 70s and 80s is you get those moments in an otherwise losing effort. And that's what we ended up with again. But Aaron, you were mentioning during the Badger recap in the last segment here that Kristen's kind of ruined Badgers and Gopher sports for us now.
Oh, no. I don't know about ruined. I think improved.
Oh, okay. Yes, that's.
Now, anytime the Gophers are mentioned, I can't help but picture like a little dancing Gopher mascot, and it's actually Kristen in it.
At the end of the game, the head coach for the Gophers, PJ Fleck, ran up to Goldie and grabbed him and picked him up and gave him like the most awkward long hug. And Goldie did this thing with his hands like, I don't know what to do. Is this a good hug? Is this a bad hug? He looked very uncomfortable. And I was thinking to myself, I know how that feels.
That's a good. It's a realistic response and a good mascot performance.
Wait a minute. Are we talking that as Goldie there have been uncomfortably long hugs, or is this just an observation on life overall here?
You know, there have been uncomfortably long moments. People don't think that there's like they know there's a person in that costume. Mm-hmm. But they don't really think that there's a person in that costume, so they kind of treat the costume like it's a stuffed animal in a weird way. So there are definitely awkward interactions.
I don't know that I'm gonna ascribe that to PJ Fleck because he's just kind of bonkers like that all the time, it feels like. I mean, I don't watch him that often, but when I do, I keep wondering if somebody's standing nearby with a sedative.
It's so funny. He's such a cultural mismatch for that program.
Oh, yes.
The program is like, you know, yeah, we're calm. We're not big cheerers. But PJ Fleck is on the sidelines running up and down and cheering, and he's got all this enthusiasm. Mm-hmm. It's kind of funny to watch how that all plays out.
Well, then you got the Badgers who, you know, again, a lot of folks were saying that Jim Leonard was going to get the head coaching job, but this is big time football now, and you need people with experience. And so they, you know, they announced that they're bringing on Luke Fickell from the University of Cincinnati, and every picture of him looks like he's about to tear your head off, about the complete opposite of PJ Fleck.
I know, but the program's really excited about this guy. And, you know, I've been watching Jim Leonard. You probably have too, since he was a player. Mm-hmm. He is that story. He's that kid from small town Wisconsin who walks on and just puts his entire heart into it and is an incredible success. And then he spends 10 years in the NFL, and now he's back as a really one of the most powerful defensive coordinators in the league. I don't know what's going to happen with Jim Leonard. I actually ran into him at the Great Dane on Friday night before the game, and it was so cool to be able to say, just thanks for being the person that you are, because, man, it elevates the whole program.
Man, look at you just rubbing elbows with high football society here. There is no doubt, though. I mean, he has been great wherever he's gone, and whatever he ends up doing next, I'm sure will be with purpose and with success, whether it's with us or away. And speaking of success, now you've got the UW volleyball team making sure that the road to the Final Four goes through the Field House. They're going to take on Quinnipiac on Friday night at the Field House. And now TCU and Washington both have to come to Madison as well. And so the winner of the Badgers Quinnipiac game will take on the winner of the TCU Washington game on Saturday. So Friday and Saturday, big doings in Madison for a volleyball team that has been just on a tear, Kristen. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this is quite a program. Yeah, and when they were doing the promos during the football game, during the Badger game, the crowd just went wild when they showed the volleyball team. They are really doing something special in Madison, and I think it means a lot to all of us. Maybe we repeat this year. Am I jinxing it by saying that?
No, not at all. Because again, when you get to be a number one seed, you know, in a tournament like this, you know, it's not just basketball. Anytime you're the one seed, I mean, you're not jinxing anything by saying that expectations are high for what this team needs to accomplish.
And they're an excellent team. There's no question. They've been consistent. So, boy, it would be so great to see them just, you know, bring it all home once again.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. So Kristen Lyerly's joining us. We talk about things that are in the news all the time, and sometimes they are things that are not, you know, that are rather serious. And I'm glad that we don't have to do that today, because there's so much sports to talk about, and there's so much, you know, the holiday weekend. Did you get to do anything enjoyable?
Yeah, I mean, there was the game and all my friends from Minnesota came, so we got to catch up with each other and just have a great time. But, you know, there's also shopping right now, because it was the long weekend.
Oh, this is that Cyber Monday thing they talk about. That's right. I have a Black Friday story. I never go shopping on Black Friday, in part because you see the news footage. It always looks like people are biting and kicking and screaming each other to get the last Teddy Ruxpin or whatever the hell this year's special is. Well,
Teddy Ruxpin.
We're at a Holiday Inn in Manitowoc, and we're realizing we need, you know, cough medicine for one of the kids, and they need some donuts as well. So I volunteer to go to the Walmart in Manitowoc at 7 a.m. Well, not only was it not crowded, but everybody there, they had extra employees, and everybody was just in a fantastic mood. And I don't know if it was that they were stuffed full of food and happy, or they were able to get away from their family for a while happy, or if it was, you know, just that it was Friday happy, whatever it was. That was a very atypical Black Friday expectation, and I might have to go try it again, maybe press my luck.
What has this world come to that Walmart appropriately staffs Black Friday?
I think the pressure is off Black Friday. Two things. I think with all of the online shopping that we are increasingly doing, I think Black Friday is not what it used to be during the Teddy Ruxpin days. So we haven't heard about, you know, people getting crushed at entrance doors, or it's really different now. But also, I think that we're all so happy to be back together again. Don't you get this sense? I know my family gathering, all that tension, like, you know that all of those issues are still there, but the tension wasn't there. People were having these really productive conversations, and it was really feeling very positive, and everybody seemed very grateful to be in the same room enjoying good food together again.
No, it's very true. Definitely get that sense from other gatherings that I've been to recently. You know, compare that to what's, you know, happening in China now with these, really heavily enforced lockdowns. And I hope that's not a sign of things to come, depending on, you know, how any next wave of COVID spreads. But the happiness that people are feeling now, like I said, I went to Mall of America, and again, It was just like the Christmas song, you know, with the shoppers rushing home with their treasures, the hustle, the bustle. But everybody was, you know, in a fine enough mood, because they're happy to be able to mingle once again. We are a social people. As much as I kid about just staying locked in my home office here forever, it's nice to get out and about now and then.
I feel like this is an early indicator too. Like the world has been crabby and locked down and angry. And we see this in our political system. But I feel like this is the beginning. We're turning the corner and recognizing that we have to work together. And that reminds me of an email that I saw yesterday from one of our state assembly reps. I don't know if you saw this one, Pat.
Yeah, let's talk about Shea Sortwell. You're the rep from over in Two Rivers there, and it was, well, I think I've used the word bonkers a couple times already, so maybe I shouldn't. But after wishing everybody a happy Thanksgiving, he says in his newsletter to his constituents, "Did you know the Pilgrims almost didn't survive? And no, it wasn't illness and a harsh weather. What killed them? The same ideology that has killed over 100 people worldwide in the last century. Socialism."
Socialism.
What? What?
Excuse what? Me?
And he goes on to lead to, of course, it's a YouTube video. That it's a YouTube video about the first Thanksgiving. And
is it from Prager University?
What's that?
Is it from Prager University? Because they make videos like that.
No, I haven't clicked on it yet.
Okay, no, that's probably good. I clicked on it. No, it was John Stossel, who apparently lost his mind.
Oh, okay. Well, then never mind. I thought there might be a kernel of truth to this, but good Lord.
Oh, and he does this ridiculous experiment where he throws a bunch of money on the ground and says to people, if he has like six people sitting in a circle, and says, if you leave that money there, it'll be worth twice as much if you grab it later. But if you grab it now, it's only worth face value. So these people just start grabbing the money. Like it was like, of course you're going to grab the money now because you've got six people who are vying for the money. If you don't get it now, you're not going to get it. And then he divides it up so that you can only grab the money in your own land. And so you can't get somebody else's money. And he says, so if you grab the money now, it's, you know, face value. But if you wait, it doubles. And all the people are like, well, why would I grab it now? Like the whole experiment that he's using to demonstrate this point is completely flawed, just like the whole letter that Sortwell sent out. I mean, it was so not Thanksgiving.
Oh, no, it was. Yeah, it was any opportunity to politicize something and to again demonstrate that you don't really know what socialism is, that and that you think that there's only one flavor of capitalism. When there's the entire range of markets, you know, that are out there and different ranges of rules. And we haven't been playing by the same rules. The rules that we're playing right now are that, you know, the rich are getting richer because of the way Republicans are running government these days. But that's not the way capitalism has always been run. And it sure as heck isn't the best way to run it. But any alternative to the current system is not, by its very nature, socialism. But I guess if you say it enough, you believe it and you start to send out newsletters about it.
It's just fear-mongering. It's oversimplifying and fear-mongering. And people hear those words and it just creates that sense of discomfort and that sense of tribalism. Like, well, if this is what he's saying, then it must be the truth. You're right. They create their own reality and it destroys our sense of community. And that's why we have to push back. I mean, that's the whole reason we're here. Let's have conversations. Let's have hard conversations. Let's share our ideas and our thoughts. And maybe we'll learn something from each other if we spend a little time listening to each other.
My older daughter brought her new boyfriend. And so we got to meet him and, you know, of course, they're in their 30s now, so we're not talking about kids or anything like that. And I'd been kind of given a heads up that, you know, being from where he's like kind of bounces between Northern California, Idaho, Wyoming, things like that, that he and I may not have, you know, total agreement on political matters.
Yeah, oh, really?
Well, at one point he started to bring up something in our kitchen. And I just went into the same mode that I always do when I'm at a supper club or a grocery store or whatever. And we had this wonderfully civil conversation back and forth, you know, looking for the ways that we can agree and just talking about how we need to have conversations like this. And it all went very well. And I kind of looked around and I said, hey, did you notice something? the room had cleared out. All the kids, grandkids, everybody left. And I knew that my daughter and my wife were, you know, around the corner, doing hair and makeup before we go out or whatever. Like, we just had to yell from the kitchen, like, it's okay to come out now. We're done talking politics. And, you know, we didn't kill each other. We did fine. Because you can have those conversations.
It's so funny. Why not make it a spectator sport? Just stick around. Watch. You might learn something.
Yes. Or, you know, or turn it into a radio show, whatever the case may be. Can you hang around for this day in music history?
Can I please?
Oh, yes. We would appreciate that so much. Obviously, we've kind of given away the first item talking about Berry Gordy's birthday, but other things are on the musical docket as well. And that's coming up after this break on Up North News Radio.
Came of age, my mother called me to her side. She said, son, you're growing up now. Pretty soon you'll take a bride. And then she said, just because you become a young man now, there's still some things that you
all right, as we mentioned, Berry Gordy is 93 years old today, and Shop Around by the Miracles was one of the first hits by Motown Records, and we'll play a few others as we go along. Kristen Lyerly sticks around with us as well. I don't play my CDs very much anymore because it's such a digital age, but I made sure I picked up the Motown box set many, many years ago when it first came out, Hitsville, USA. And that's one of the few times I will still use the CD player, is just to put in one of those four Motown CDs and just let that rip for the day. And this might be a day for it today.
That really makes me think of the old KTEL days. When they would have like those long commercials with all those songs, and you'd just be singing all those little clips, and then you'd order it and the record would arrive like 2 weeks later. Good times.
Yep. Birthdays today. Let's go to, can you guess Randy Newman's age as we hear I Love LA in the background here?
He's got to be 72.
79.
All the people.
Wow.
Yeah, 79. There's a lot of spoken word stuff here. So if you get a chance to listen to I Love LA later on, be sure you do that. Now we'll go to the Dirty Dancing hit by Bill Medley, Jennifer Warren.
Oh, yes.
Guess the year.
This is what we're doing this morning. We're having the time of our lives.
There you go.
The year. Oh, my gosh. Where did that fit into my life? Maybe 1987?
Very good. Yes. 1987 on this day. I've had the time of my life hit number one. Let's see. Aaron, have you got the Kinks next? All right.
Aaron, have you got the Kinks this morning? You should get up and move around a little bit.
When a doctor asks that, it doesn't mean the same as when a disc jockey does.
Yeah, the you got to do this some stretching, though. But then again, if these are the Kinks you have, I don't know if I really want to get rid of it.
The Kinks, you really got me, peaked at number 7 for them. What year was that, Kristen?
Oh, boy, that's a little bit before my time. I'm going to go with, 1973?
1964.
Oh, geez.
So, yeah, just barely my time. All right, I got one or two more here for you. I got two more for you. Let's go to Prince, and let's just give this a listen for a few seconds. Really handicapped you with the way that the music's not coming through the board quite right today, but if you could pick that up, it was Prince's I Would Die For You.
Aww.
Which was when, I mean, there were only like 1,000 Prince hits in this particular year. What year am I talking about?
It was the Purple Rain year, like 84?
84, absolutely. I Would
Die
For
You. Have you gone back and watched that movie?
No. Does it stand the test of time?
It stands the nostalgia test of time.
Okay.
It's definitely worth watching again, but it's definitely not it's not Oscar material, except for the music.
Yeah, right. I mean, the music is legendary. Speaking of music, it was on this day in 1925, the Grand Ole Opry radio show premiered on WSM Radio. And one more historical note. Yeah, on this day in 1895, the first American automobile race took place running from Chicago to Evanston, Illinois. So it was a 54-mile race, the first ever race, 54 miles, Kristen. The winner took how long to win that first ever 54-mile race?
Boy, you know, there weren't even really roads back then.
I know, or to 1895 here, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that had to have been like a day, 20 hours.
Almost, 10 hours. 10 hours, so that would be an average of 5.4 miles an hour, which I suppose makes sense for the first American auto race, you know, that the first cars could race at 5 miles an hour.
It's still that way between Chicago and Evanston.
You know, never thought of it that way. We're just paying a lot more for our cars. All right, one more musical note, and that was, Whitney Houston remaking a Dolly Parton classic.
Oh.
Should stay, I would only be in your way.
And let's skip forward a little bit in that one.
And we'll always love you.
And do you know, Kristen, that just yesterday going through the basement, I mentioned my CDs. I happened to see a stack of VHS movies that we still have, and The Bodyguard was like right there on the top of the pile. Makes me want to throw that back in, except we don't have a VHS player anymore.
Oh, no. I bet you could queue it up on a streaming service, though. Oh, it wouldn't be the same. But
no. Well, it would not have any glitches or anything like that. So do you remember what year it hit number one? November 28th of?
88.
92.
92.
Whitney Houston and Kevin Costner. And
oh, that song and her voice. Oh, she's just, what a loss.
And I remember Dolly Parton has been repeatedly asked, you know, what did she think the first time she heard it? And Dolly Parton, as if she wasn't an angel already, you know, really, when she said she heard it and she's like, yep, somebody did it better. You know, that was, that's great. And, you know, not a bit of jealousy or anything. How do you like the way Dolly Parton's having this resurgence with the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame thing and, you know, getting booked on like Christmas specials and things like this? It's kind of a nice little thing to see a legend be treated as a legend.
I just love her. And she's so like, this is who I am. This is where I came from. This is a wig. She just talks about like, she does not hide. I mean, people have not seen what she looks like without makeup or a wig. Her image is very carefully crafted, but she has no reservations about telling you that her image is very carefully crafted. I hope you like it. I'm here to entertain you. I think she is just an incredible, not only has her music been unbelievable, but just her presence is such a beautiful thing and has been for so long.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Tell you what, before I let you go, we only touched briefly on it being Cyber Monday. Are you doing some shopping today, or have you already done some online shopping for the holidays, or are you one of those last minute shoppers?
Oh, no, I am totally a planner. I will be done with all of my shopping before December hits.
Nice. Okay. Yeah. Do I get to shake the box at least a little bit, or
nope.
are you gonna give away, you know, what you're getting me, or
nope?
Okay. All right.
Too bad.
I shouldn't do that, because now that puts the pressure on me to find something for you.
I've got your present right here. I'm touching it right now.
I guess I will wrap up this segment and go shopping for Kristen later on. Good to hear from you. Have a great day.
You too. Happy Monday.
Okay. Kristen Lyerly.